Would you be seated, please? According to educational theorists, a child of 8 no longer believes in fairies, but still believes in angels with wings. And what, I wonder, of a child of 48, or 68, or 88? Perhaps by now we believe in angels without wings? Or is it rather that we do not believe in angels at all? Certainly, that would not be the impression of anyone who walked in here cold on a Sunday morning. Recall, for instance, that the Eucharistic community never gathers that it does not place its praises in the context of the worship of angels. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, and so on. And likewise, as you've already seen, our hymns are replete with references to angels. So if we are privately skeptical on the subject of angels, our liturgy isn't going to betray us. Nor, for that matter, will our scriptures. Now, while we are largely inclined to remember the angels in their performance as bit players in the Christmas story, that I suspect is only because we learned our theology from the Sunday school pageant. The truth of the matter is that angels are mentioned well over 200 times in the Bible. For example, they are present and they are assigned a role at nearly every pivotal point in the story of Jesus. When Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, it's the angels of God who come and minister to him. At his arrest in Gethsemane, he says that he has only to call upon the hosts of heaven to come and protect him. Indeed, this role of protector is quite well established, as is that of angels as messengers. For instance, now quite apart from the belief that children have a guardian angel assigned to them at birth, a belief which Jesus himself apparently shared, we have the story we heard today of Michael and his angels doing battle with the dragon. You do understand what that means. It means that God has taken the extraordinary step of entrusting God's own safety to the angels, to Michael and his angels. And finally, in the stillness of a Saturday night, when God broke the powerful spell of death, it was the angels who stood watch, the angels who saw the resurrection, and the angels who were the first to say, "He's not here, he is risen." Oh no. If we are privately skeptical on the subject of angels, no one's going to corroborate our skepticism by calling the scriptures to witness in our favor. On the contrary, our Judeo-Christian tradition is categorically clear about both the existence and the ministry of angels. Now, I will allow that from time to time, believers have been rather, less agnostic than perhaps they ought to have been about some aspects of the angels. I'm not sure, for example, on what basis any mortal could declare with authority, as did Dionysius, that the angels, I want you to take notes here, okay? The angels are divided into three ranks of three choirs each. Did you know this? So up here are the seraphim and the cherubim and the thrones, and intermediate are the dominations and the virtues and the powers, and below them are the principalities and the archangels and the angels. And the reason you don't know so much about all the others is that only angels and archangels are allowed to have any kind of commerce with human beings. But I have to say, who's to say really whether Dionysius is right? Or perhaps we should take the advice of Mr. Athelstan Riley, who wrote that much-loved hymn, Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones, where he completely botches Dionysius' order. Virtues, archangels, angels, choirs, that's right out of order. It's wrong. It's just wrong. In fact, who's to say really whether angels are given to forming junior and senior choirs at all? You won't catch me dying on that hill. However, I will venture that just because I was unable at the age of 6 to differentiate between a phantasm and a spiritual being, that is, between fairies and angels, is no reason for me to set my jaw on the subject as an adult. Indeed, whereas in childhood I think it was a certain innocence that simply lumped all supra-terrestrials together, it is, I think, in adulthood a kind of arrogance that does so. We have become so used to thinking of ourselves as the highest expression of the created order. I mean, you know how it goes. First there are rocks, then there are trees, then there are amoebas. You see, each is a slightly more perfect expression of the nature of God. We've got to something sentient. And then after that, there are cats, and then there are dogs, and then there's my dog. Sometimes. And then there's us, human beings. We can scarcely fathom the possibility that there might be something other than God, that is, above us. It's pretty arrogant. And equally arrogant is any rejection of the existence of angels that is rooted in our modern commitment to empiricism. In other words, if I can't see it, and the thing about angels is you can't see them, it can't be true or real. As if my sight were the measure of all things. I, frankly, am much comforted by the idea of created beings who can move freely between this world and the next. What this means, if it is true, is that it is no great gulf or chasm that is fixed between heaven and earth, or the way we shall be and the way we are, if you want a different language. Rather, there are these places that the Celts call thin places, what Scripture calls a ladder between the two. And the traffic on this ladder moves in both directions. That's the beauty of the thing. In other words, its function isn't solely to ferry the inhabitants of Earth after a long, sweaty climb to their perfection. That ladder is populated equally by the inhabitants of heaven, which is to say that in the midst of our labors, we may expect from time to time to be encouraged and tantalized by a glimpse of our destiny coming to meet us. Imagine what it would be like to be able, with Jacob, to look around you on one of the worst moments of your whole life, as it was for him, and say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This is none other than the house of God, and this mess, whatever it is the gate of heaven. And if the angels can do that for us, then, my friends, angels are something worth believing in. Amen.